Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Team Time with Atlas. I'm your announcer, Anon27. Today we have a nice program set up. We'll be speaking today about World War II. Nice red pills for every one of you good boys and girls. Now, without further ado, Atlas, take it away.
This Tea Time with Atlas, where I deliver red pills, enjoyable monologue. Post your questions in chat, and after discussion, we'll begin taking your question. And on 27, we'll start giving me the questions that you post, filtered, of course. Tea Time with Atlas began with one of our mods, Lotus, who revealed that he did not have the red pill, so to speak. He told us he had no idea about the JQ or anything like that. So I began explaining to him in voice chat the many things that had happened historically, and it became sort of a get-together with the staff where everybody would get in voice chat, and I would talk about things, and then we'd have a little where we discussed how historical events actually happened. Tonight we're going to be starting on the JQ as it pertains to the Final Solution. For those of you who do not know, the JQ is the Jewish question. Historically, the question has been, what do we do with the Jewish people? Since in Europe, every ethnic group has had its own country, Jewish people, being a unique ethnic group without a specific nation, you know, home, have basically been moving from place to place, though it can be argued historically that they came from various locations throughout Europe and the Middle East, place where they could point to and say, this is where we go to call our homeland, not already occupied by someone else. World War II was not, as most people believe, a cartoonish war between good and evil. One group, they had to be the heroes, stop the evil, tyrannical murderers who were the Nazis. The Allies in World War II, primarily England, Russia, China, and the United States, with a few other people who contributed, I guess. Most of those nations who I did not list acted at either as vassal nations or as one of the four that was listed, nations that owed some allegiance to one of the four nations. The main reason for World War II was actually not, as most people have been led to believe these days, the Holocaust. Britain was busy invading half the fucking planet. The United States had internment camps, rounding up Japanese citizens fucking everywhere. The Chinese were in the middle of genociding half their own fucking people. The truth of the matter is, no one on the Allies actually gave two-thirds of a shit about the genocide of anybody. Nearly halfway through the war and after the war, it became very good publicity to explain that the reason 80 million people died was because to stop the evil genocidal maniacs who were the Nazis. By portraying them as cartoonish Hollywood villains, they managed to get away with killing what could be essentially thought of as the last great hope of the European culture. The Nazis invaded most countries. They enforced upon those countries a sort of pride. If you're Polish, Polish people. If you're French, love your fellow French. They invaded most of these countries with the sole intent of getting German people out into German lands and getting Jewish people out into Jewish lands. Most of the other people there were tiny numbers. A series of camps were set up across Europe. Camps were located in towns and cities in various countries, and they were, the term is concentration camps. This term means to concentrate the population of a given people or group within a single location, to move people from one location to another. It's far more efficient that way, to round up 100 people from one city, 100 people from another, and then put them on a few trains to one small area, and then have one large train carry 3,000 to 4,000 people to the final destination. At the beginning of World War II, it was some years before World War II, an agreement with the leaders of the Jewish people that any German-occupied land, any German-owned land, the Jewish people would have their valuables returned to them, which had been claimed by the state in the name of rebuilding the prosperity of Germany, so that they could leave and arrive in their new lands, Israel. The Havara Agreement was an extension of an agreement between the Rothschild family and the agreement that got the United States into World War I also gave the Rothschilds the exclusive rights to the land that would be Israel. In World War II, well, before World War II began, accepted this as being their native lands and shipped them there by creating a large number of concentration camps that would move everything . I'm looking at a few people who are apparently having trouble connecting. Give me just 1 second. Not joined because they cannot get on Rabbit. All right. Well, we'll this and hope that whoever is having trouble can manage to get back on. Concentration camps and the networks of rail systems across Europe was to move the Jewish people back into the lands that they were told were their native lands, both by the Havara Agreement and the agreement they made with the British government. It should be noted that numerous parties were accepting what happened with the Jewish people, with World War I and whatnot, which I will explain in a later date. These things were more incidental. Some Jews bad, some Jews good. And they basically accepted that Israel was the home of the Jews. So Hitler packed them all up and started sending them there. He sent several tens of thousands of people there successfully before they were cut off. World War II began. The actual start of the genocide is believed to be after the beginning of World War II. Though a lot of people will, you know, say it began the day Hitler rose to power, actually looking at the historical documents, the official date is after the beginning of World War II. And the reason, after the beginning of World War II, Hitler could no longer ship people to Israel. There was too much Russian activity, meaning that these people were now stuck in concentration camps along various railways all throughout Europe. The result was progressed. These people had nowhere to go. Eat, since they were second or third class citizens, and were slowly being invaded by typhus. Epidemic, the solution is to gas and or burn everyone's clothes, shave their heads bald, and avoid any contact with any type of furry animal since it's spread via lice, meaning that these people who were beginning to get infected now had to be kept separated. The best way to handle them is, once these people have died, to gas their bodies and then to burn them. The bodies, because if you began burning them, the lice could the crematoria. Say you stick it in there, you turn on the heat, the lice feel the heat, they begin jumping around. If one of them gets out, now you, a regular German soldier, have typhus. The end result, if anybody knows anything about the stages of typhus, you end up looking starved. Pictures of people who look starved, beaten, abused, bald, in camps where they're being slowly murdered. However, with the numbers, and the problem evolves, it reveals itself through a series of facts that make people nervous. You see, after World War II, there was very little inspection or scientific surveys of these camps. The camps that were surveyed were deemed to be concentration camps. Camps surveyed by the Americans. Surveyed by the Russians, however, were all deemed to be death camps, whose death tolls numbered in the millions, including Auschwitz. In the decades after that, one was allowed to perform any kind of actual physical test to determine if people had actually been murdered in these places. And the reason is because, and several other countries, Holocaust denial is illegal. Saying Holocaust denial is anything that somebody declares to be Holocaust denial becomes illegal. That means even questioning the actual numbers of the Holocaust, questioning how it happened or anything, you will accept the official doctrine of committing a crime. So, the result is all the possible evidence has been worn away, washed away, and blown away by time. The result is that the only actual test of the walls was conducted illegally and without government sanction by one man who revealed that the concentration of deadly gas in the so-called gas chambers was 1/20th in the chambers for the lice. That is where they gas the clothes. And the thing about gassing clothes is the gas has to permeate and everything. However, of gassing your clothing is dead lice, but you're going to wear the clothes again. The LD100 for lice and the LD1 for humans for the same chemical are given for two completely different scenarios. So if you want to determine if a chemical is dangerous, you determine its LD1, ability to kill 1% of the population. Because then it's a dangerous chemical. So whenever they say, well, this has the ability to kill someone with a certain amount of... They'll say, well, it's actually... 100 times more to kill lice than it is to kill humans. But the problem is that they're giving the LD100 versus the LD1, because the LD1 is, a significant amount lower than the LD100 for two completely different species. But if they were talking about the LD100 for both, then you'd have to be. The amount is actually significantly higher for humans by 10 to 20 times. And, of course, the reason is because we're significantly larger. And there's the issue of the doors. All the gas chambers do not have large metal doors that are sealed. They have small wooden doors with tiny glass windows. These doors could have swung inside or outside, depending on whose depiction you read. But, if the door swung inside, then after all the people died, many of whom would definitely be clamoring to get to the door, then nobody would be able to push the door open to be able to pull the bodies out. How many German soldiers would it take to stop 100, 200 screaming Jewish people from breaking down that door? Then there's the fact that it is a wooden door. A wooden door is made. It is not airtight. And that gas would have leaked out. Gas used, Zyklon B, actually a solid crystalline form of hydrogen cyanide, which upon exposure to the atmosphere immediately begins forming the gas, which we know of as cyanide. And when it makes contact with you, it kills you, and it takes hours to dissipate. The accounts that said that right after the gassing, the soldiers would go inside and exercise and whatnot in the rooms is complete bullshit. Because if you had enough gas in that room to kill, let's say, 100 people, and then you went in there any time short of a week, any kind of vigorous activity, you'd be breathing much heavier gas that you would inhale. Even for an otherwise non-lethal dose, could at least send you to the hospital. Come out to kill 100 people, you'd be dead in 5 minutes. You would just straight up start choking, fall over, you'd be bleeding, everything would suck. Your life would be hell. Then there are other factors to consider. During the Nuremberg trials, numerous men were put on the stand and accused. They were supposedly the ones who had orchestrated the mass killing of people throughout numerous countries like Poland. The orders were to go around and shooting anyone who was Polish or Jewish or some other kind of person they didn't like, because evil Nazis. All the men at the Nuremberg trials denied all these allegations. A guilty person would deny this if they didn't want to go to prison. However, in fact, the matter remains that if I did it, I enjoyed genociding these people, wah ha ha. The only thing that came close was one person who said that he was doing it in self-defense. Nobody confessed. There is literally no confession by anyone who committed mass genocide, who confirmed committed mass genocide. It's all accusation. Charge of the Nuremberg trials was instructed to take many of the things that were levied against them as fact, being instructed that they did not have to abide by the traditional rules of evidence. As a result, dozens of men were sentenced to death. Sandwich. Now, from the point of view of, say, the Russians, it looked incredibly different, but not for the reasons most people assume. Most people forget, and not sure why, including the people who actually fought the war. In Russia, at the time, were fucking communist. The people who lived in Russia who could not leave, who knew their life was hell and knew communism was to blame. However, there was a rather substantial government that propped it up. World War II cost the lives of something like 20 million Russian people. Any other single country just fucking obliterated all these goddamn Russians, several million, just from one fucking battle, the Battle of Stalingrad. And the reason isn't because the Russians were really determined to kill the Germans and the Germans were just really good at fighting. The reason is because the Russians were fucking communists. And the problem with that is it meant that their lives were expendable, since the only people who mattered were the people, meaning that no one person is important. Weapons that they were given were substandard. They were given either something that would fire indiscriminately or given a weapon that would break in 2 minutes. Any of the good weapons were in such limited quantities that in the Battle of Stalingrad, Russian soldiers were sent out without a weapon and instructed to pick one up off the ground. Now, if your own life is that meaningless to you, what are other people's lives? Other people's lives would be less than cannon fodder. So, thought to themselves, what make really good publicity for us fighting these Germans? They settled on dressing like Germans, occupied territories, and brutally fucking murdering as many people as they could. Then they would find any Germans they could, steal their shit, send messages back to headquarters saying that they had accomplished their missions of murdering as many people as they fucking could. This is shit that they admitted to, the Russians' declassified documents revealing that this is a thing they actually fucking did. Crazy conspiracy bullshit. This is something the Russian government said, yeah, we totally fucking did that. To doubt not only all the things that happened around the concentration camps, but also makes you wonder about the concentration camps themselves. Since if the Russian people were willing to kill their own people and every person in Poland in order to achieve some kind of ideological victory, basically by saying, hey, look, we're better than Nazis, so let us take over all your fucking land. The Russians may have also done something to make the so-called Holocaust worse. Well, one thing. Relentless bombing. Many of the concentration camps were actually fucking a damn map. Later on, of course, people will be like, well, the Russian Germans actually blew this shit up themselves. Conveniently, it was always the buildings that were exploded that were the ones that all the evidence happened to be in. This is where they executed millions of people. Don't bother looking at the rocks because the gas would have permeated. The rocks would have fucking decomposed. Whenever you expose concrete to high heat, it decomposes into quicklime. Decomposes into lime. You quench it into quicklime. And the issue with any kind of gas chamber fire setup that would dispose of millions of bodies over the course of 5 years is that the evidence would be so overwhelming, it would be like trying to hide a garbage dump in your apartment filled with garbage dump. Now, the sheer number of bodies at Auschwitz was over a million. Over 1 million bodies, according to the official numbers these days. Not the official numbers from the Red Cross when they actually investigated back in the day, which were a few hundred thousand for all the camps together, the bulk of which were attributed to typhus deaths. No, millions of people in one location, Auschwitz. With all these people dying, is that they'd have to go somewhere. Millions of bodies, even burned, still occupy hundreds of thousands of cubic meters. That's like digging up numerous football fields. Like, this is the best case scenario. You dig up numerous football fields, and you would just have piles and piles of ash and bone. And you could reduce it. The problem is that burning bone takes so much longer than burning the rest of the body. So either you burned a body every 5 minutes for five fucking years in a what basically looked like a fucking bread oven by comparison, or burned them to the bone and it took hours and there's no way you burned millions of fucking people. On the one hand, either there's a mass grave somewhere we've never bothered to fucking look for, a mass grave that is so large that it would be identifiable from space. Or there's so many ashes just scattered somewhere that the wildlife should be dead for the next 100 years simply because there's all the ash seeped into the ground would poison the fucking water. And one of those things for all these people to die. And you could say, well, they got rid of the bodies by shipping them elsewhere, but there's only so many places to ship rid of a body. Plus, they were in the middle of a war where millions of people were dying. They didn't really have the time to say, well, we better hide this evidence in case we lose and waste resources doing that shit. Oh, they have heavy water shipments that they have to get a hold of so that they can prepare to make the largest bomb in history, which unfortunately they were not successful at. They have to design tanks so large that they can destroy parts of London from the fucking continent. The resources that the Germans were expending at the time of the war were ridiculous because they wanted to win. However, if you ever actually read about Hitler, did indicated he wanted war. Nations were primarily not democratic. Laid out exactly what he wanted from Poland. He laid out exactly what he wanted from just about every fucking country, including France. The occupation of France wasn't him blowing people up and murdering them in the fucking streets. In fact, almost no one died in France until the Allies started fighting back. He made a deal with, I want to say Switzerland. You can actually look at a map. There's a big white spot right in the middle where Switzerland's like, hey, we don't want involved in this at all. And Hitler's like, that's totally cool. Does that sound like a cartoon villain to you? Some fucking rocker doing meth villain who's like, hey, I've been murdering everybody by the millions, but I'm going to leave these guys alone because reasons. Don't even talk to me about their mountains and their exploding fucking roadways. Roadways. It's not that Hitler was the best fucking guy everyone anywhere. It's that Hitler was a person just like everyone else. He did things that he did in order to protect his people. Maybe he didn't succeed. Done it better. Make him out to like a cartoon villain poisons the very idea that he and his people stood for, that a nation could be made great. Ethnic homogeny of the people within it. Those people are. Maybe some groups are better than other groups at some things. But because of the way human beings work, most of our issues tend not to be balanced. If you're so smart, you tend not to be very strong. If you're super strong, you tend not to be super smart. Are both are definitely ubermensch. But there's no statistical group that is all the factors, all the healthy, strong, smart, courageous, honorable factors. There is, however, one group that is almost none of those factors. They're not. They're not kind. They're not very strong. They're not. You could argue that they're smart, but the only metric we have to judge them by is a metric that they created. These are the Jewish people themselves, given chance after chance after chance to leave Europeans the fuck alone, dead to try to enslave us. They deliberately orchestrated the events after World War II, including using their insane grip over Hollywood, creating movies to make us believe that they are these horrific cartoonish villains, in order to make us feel guilty over the things that we did, even though we didn't do shit. Had been this genocidal fucking maniac. That's on Hitler and the people who followed him. I don't owe shit to anyone. I'm not guilty of shit that somebody else did. For that matter, if I met a Jewish person, I had no concerns whatsoever about Zionism. That is the creation of Israel as a nation state. The creation and maintenance of Israel as a nation state over all other states. Then I wouldn't care. A place to call home, I wouldn't care. Everybody just wants a place to call home. But there is a limit. Nobody should be made to suffer so that someone else can have something that wasn't theirs in the first place. And that is AQ. What are the Jewish people doing to the rest of the world? And what is the long-term consequences of that? I'm going to delve deeper into the JQ and how it affects us on a modern basis. That will be next Sunday at 9:30 Eastern Time. Time this time. With that, we will be taking questions in the rabbit chat. I am not in the rabbit chat because I have two audio channels open and it would echo otherwise, so my friend Anon27 will be reading the questions to me.
Good evening, everyone. So, if you don't mind, start posting your questions down there in the rabbit, and I'll be asking them directly to Atlas, and let's see what he says.
That reminds me. So, a transparency discussion. So you can ask me any questions about the site, finances, whatever you'd like.
For the record, questions that are legit troll questions will not be passed on to Atlas. The first question is, what are your thoughts on other image boards like 32chan, LineChan, or 8chan? Atlas?
Honestly, I don't think about them at all. I spend most of my time actually working on ML Poll or going to work. I don't have time to consider words and what they stand for. If you asked me about like what their general premise was, I couldn't tell you.
We are still in the questions and answers portion. If you have any questions, do not be afraid to ask them. We'll also be checking the thread itself to see if there are any questions posted there. We have a question from the thread. Who is your waifu?
I love Derpy. She is probably like right up there at Best Pony. Coming inside Rainbow Dash.
All right, the next question.
Sorry, Fluttershy is the worst pony, period.
The next one is, what is your favorite text editor, Nano or Vim?
Busy is Nano.
The next one is, which one would you pick, 32chan or 8chan?
I don't actually know much about from that. Apparently you can like buy boards or something. 32chan? I have quite literally never heard of them before.
The next one is, do you think we need a 10th crusade? If so, would you join me on it?
The answer is yes and yes. Deus Vault. I would not, however, join you under the name of the current Pope.
I don't think anyone would join under Francis.
It's a girl's name anyway. There are probably some questions I should...
Here's another one. What is your stance on moral relativism?
Moral relativists are a bunch of pussies who can't be bothered to make up their own minds about something. There's nothing morally relativistic about the vast majority of things, okay? Killing someone is wrong. There's no doubt about that. You just have to ask yourself, is it more wrong to let them live so that they can do harm to others? This is where the concept of the state killing someone comes from. Executions are not carried out by an individual. They are carried out by the state. That's why you wear the black mask in old-timey movies and whatnot, because no one's actually supposed to know who pushed the button. Push the button isn't supposed to know. Now, old firing squads used to leave one barrel unloaded, so it wasn't any one person who killed the guy. And the reason that this is important is because moral relativism is basically the kind of thing that says it's totally okay for people in the Middle East to beat their wives and rape people and all sorts of shit because that's their culture, and that is bullshit. You can judge everybody by the exact same standard if you have a standard that stands up to any and all scrutiny.
All right. The next question is, I have taken AP U.S. History in high school. It has numerous curricula concerning World War II, one of which is the Allied bombing campaigns. What is your analysis of the American public U.S. history curriculum that the Allied bombing campaign targeted civilian populations while ignoring these concentration camps in German-occupied Europe?
This is another example of how the U.S. behaved at the time. The president, forces of the Allies were not just called the Allies. In times of major war, such as World War II, a specific general from one of the Allied countries can be appointed to a position of power over all the other nations' militaries so that the coordination can happen far faster. And that in the instance of World War II, it was an American, and the American general took his cues from the president, and the president was a dick. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a huge fucking communist asshole. He's responsible for the New Deal, Social Security, all this other shit that's slowly running our country into the goddamn ground over the last few decades. One of the things he's particularly responsible for is the fact that he actually gave communists in Russia very few shits about foreign people. He nuked Hiroshima and Nagasaki not because they were a specific military threat, even though Hiroshima was a military base, because it would break their spirits. And as an American, I can tell you, I would not want to be invaded by Japanese forces, so something had to be done. But it was a case of somebody completely ignoring the moral aspects of what they were doing versus the long-term effects. The same effect could have possibly been accomplished by dropping a bomb right off the coast of Tokyo. A massive tidal wave comes in and some buildings, but a lot less people would have died, and demonstrated the immense power that the United States had at the time. FDR did not care about human lives, and thus the constant bombing of countries throughout Germany, as ordered by FDR, and passed down through the ranks by his various generals, is clear indicator that we were not only fighting the wrong enemy, we were the bad guy in World War II. Because Germany didn't have that happening. You know, they did bombing raids in London, but they were specifically targeting ways to cripple their ability to make war. We were like, hey, look, people, and they were gone. Countryside, cities, doesn't matter. Dresden was a fucking pile of rubble when we were done with it. There's a question in the...
The next one is, who is best Pope? Peter the First, Innocent the Third, or Urban the Second?
I could not tell you. I'm sorry. I am too ignorant of the vast history that is the popes. But if I remember correctly, at least one of them did led a crusade. Which one was that?
I do not know off the top of my head. We'll move on to the next question from here. Oh, Pope Urban. Pope Urban II is crusade. Same with Pope Innocent III.
Or Innocent.
One of Pope Urban was the first crusade.
Urban, then. Pope Urban. Big fan of the first crusade, actually. I'm not going to tell you exactly how much it impacts my life, but let's just say that I hear about it every fucking day.
The next question is a quick question coming from the board. Atlas, are you Jewish?
No.
Like I said, it was a very quick question. The next one is a pretty interesting one. This individual would like to know how Atlas came to his National Socialist leanings. I believe he's a Natsok himself. Another would be, what circumstances would have forced him to mold his ideology to suit his country?
Oh, that's interesting. Yes, I am a National Socialist. I came to my National Socialist leanings, actually, very, very interesting path that'll probably make most people re into their microphones. I absolutely know. As a kid, I didn't even understand the concept of an ideology until I was became a teenager, and I started reading books by Isaac Asimov. Isaac Asimov had a pretty flighty future, like a flighty vision of the future. You had this sort of everybody gets together, builds robots, and lives fucking happily ever after. Once the robots are doing all the work, human labor is bullshit, and we can just do whatever the fuck we want. If you actually read his books as he wrote them, you'll see he started out as an idealistic teenager and eventually came to realize that the consequences of trying to remove all labor from mankind would turn them into a bunch of degenerate trash. And he wrote a new book in which human beings superseded those who had created robots to do all their work because they were willing to do the work themselves. So that was me as a kid becoming a communist, basically, where I actually came up with really interesting designs for story tall nuclear powered greenhouse that could produce enough food to feed a continent. It would be a couple acres in size, and it would be temperature controlled, high carbon dioxide density, and efficient lighting that would grow plants year round, harvest them automatically. This would feed everyone, and there'd be no need for strife or struggle, blah, 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 communism, communism. But got older, I realized just how bullshit most of my ideas were, because one after another, they started falling, and I moved towards a more capitalist leaning, and I read a book, I'm sure at least no one has fucking read, called, I actually read the whole goddamn thing, which is shocking, because most people don't. To read the book, they take, like, author every possible communist argument you can. Atlas Shrugged. And you upend it. You did people who hold on a second. I just realized I haven't been breathing. There's the people in charge who nothing but a bunch of despots who want nothing but power. There are the people who feel, well, they don't help each other. Communist idea they had that if you have a lot, you should give it all away, is destroyed by her one after another. However, this pushed me more towards a capitalist leaning until I started finding flaws in that argument too, and where the flaws in the capitalist ideology is a lot more than the flaws in communist ideology. And basically, at least they're being realistic that the country itself would thrive better if it was completely capitalisted. This is the problem, is that the country would thrive. The people would have inevitably end up sides of a of income. And this isn't some income inequality bullshit where I'm talking about how the rich should give all their fucking money away. Simply that at one point in time, the free market becomes a situation that one person controls to can basically make slaves out of everyone else. Is how do you allow the free market to grow and morph and change throughout history while preventing the totalitarian takeover by a single capitalist? The answer would be a specific amount of government regulation designed to encourage new business growth. Not specific. So that nobody in particular has the hand up on everybody else. I'm going into too many details here, but one at a time, what parts of capitalism with a certain degree of regulation, what parts of capitalism were completely non-existent. There are whole voids there. The moralistic aspects of capitalism it's me. So it then becomes capitalism is all costs. Communism is you must fail at all costs. National socialism, more about it, was revealed to be more of an extension of family. You care about your family, you do anything for them. You work hard, you earn, you keep what you earn, and you voluntarily use it to help your fellow family members. And this is the way that, say, a marble stairs and behave as a single orb. 10,000 marbles can roll down a flight of stairs and behave as a giant fluid. The flows down those stairs. Still composed of marbles. And a lot of something behaves different because it, some tiny little aspect of the individual emerges among the group. A person with a family behaves a specific way. The way he behaves with his family is the way he behaves with his nation. Treating his, not only the people in the same area as him, but the people with the same ethno background as him. People who are German should help other Germans because they are all one family. Not as a heavy tax, not as a some forced, you're rich and you have to help the poorest people, blah, 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 bullshit. Or a German, and even anything. Give everything you have to alive and well. Part of that question, which I completely forgot. What would force me to change my ideology to suit my country? The answer is in the United States. And that means that there's not an ethno group for me to identify as my, you know, this is who my identity. I know that I have a background in a particular country, which one day I will go visit, but particular background and everything I don't know. So to identify with my home country, the United States, enough to be able to give up my morals would be reprehensible to me. If at some point the United States is so far gone, I would be forced, perhaps at gunpoint even, to renounce National Socialism. Next question.
Question regarding Joseph Goebbels' speech on the JQ, did he not say, should the Jews once again bring about a world war, they would be annihilated, and then proceed to say, the annihilation of the Jews has to be its inevitable consequence of the war? What are your thoughts on the speech and its implementations, sorry, I can't speak this evening, on the JQ?
First thing about this is Joseph Goebbels did not say that because Joseph Goebbels did not speak English. He said something probably similar to that, but I guarantee you that if you find an actual German person, you sit him in front of that footage, you ask him to translate, he will tell you, with my fucking balls. That is not exactly what he said, and his meaning is this and this and this because of the inflection of such and such. Because much like when JFK visited Berlin and said, Ich bin ein Berliner, the context depends entirely on where you are. In Berlin, sure, it made perfect sense because people in Berlin were like, okay, he's a Berliner. He said, phrasing was a little weird, but whatever. But outside of Berlin, a Berliner is a name for a jelly donut, meaning he just called himself a jelly donut to most of the people outside of Berlin. Weird. Context is important, especially in a language like German. Second, didn't say that. This is Joseph Goebbels we're talking about. He was not the Führer. He was not the guy in charge, nor is he the single representation of all National Socialism in existence. Definitely fucking hated Jews, which, who can blame him? So the question is whether he was being whether or not he was saying, "Hey, we totally genocide the Jews!" Ha 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 ha. About if war if it comes to war, Jews will die. He was talking about the fact that the people he were fighting against were being controlled by the Rothschilds' banking system and around the world, and that if they wanted an all-out war, he would give it to them. And he was talking to a room full of soldiers who needed encouragement, and he was basically saying what every, and as somebody who used to serve in the U.S. military, I can tell you, they will all say this, the enemy will die. You 100% for certain whether or not that was true, but I do know this. At one point in time, Hitler was asked if they should gas an entire train car full of Jewish people, to which he responded, no. Time that anyone has actually got him on paper concept of gassing Jewish people. Next question. This is dragging on.
The next question. What is your opinion on General George S. Patton?
George S. Patton is probably one of those tragic figures in history. He was a real National Socialist. He did what he did for his country because he believed in and loved his country, and I can respect that. It was only afterwards, however, and you can find the documentation online, read his personal thoughts on the matter, letters he wrote. He was fighting the wrong enemy. During the war, he was a strong military opponent. Plus, what he had done is fucked up because the Russians were a bunch of assholes and the Jewish people were shitting in buckets and basically acting as if they deserved fucking everything. They treated people like shit. They kicked regular German people, families out of their homes in order to make up for the Holocaust that was already being spread around as a totally a thing that totally happened, totally.
The next question is, what are your plans for the future of MLPol.net, and what are some of the challenges you expect to run and obstacles you expect to run into for the future of the site?
One last point about General Patton. He died under mysterious circumstances in a car accident involving a military vehicle. A lot of theories point to the fact that he was killed because he began asking the Jewish question. Future of
the question was, how do you plan / propose that MLPol crushes its opponents, and who do you see as its main detractors and adversaries? Do we have any adversaries?
This is important to note. As the owner of MLPol.net and its parent company, Laughware Technology LLC, I want to make this very clear. On MLPol, the concept. I only own the website and the business. If you guys wanted to create an MLPol.org and try to move there or whatever, I'd have no way to stop you. Created this website to give you a home. So if there are anybody fighting us, if there's anyone trying to hurt us, it's not for me to decide to attack and hurt them and fight them off. It is as a community. And whenever we have done raids in the past, I patient to a typical user because I see my only job here as being making sure that you guys have a comfy place to post. So if there's a raid, we'll end block. We have all kinds of new things that we've set up and designed in order to prevent raids from being as effective as they once were. So the April attack that basically decimated the entire website will not happen again. there are limits on posting new threads and backups and all sorts of shit like that.
So pretty much you've deployed Horse Pussy 2.0 to defend us.
2.0. Remember, guys, posting naked ponies is the best defense we're ever going to have. As for our main detractors and adversaries, I honestly think most people don't know her, and the people who do only see us as a joke, which works to our advantage because that means that we can grow for a long time without being really harassed. Maybe Freach, because this place is not free speech. It's most certainly not free speech. You can't just come here and say whatever the fuck you want. It has to be a real political discussion. It has to be actual thought. Or you can talk about My Little Pony concept. But you can't come on here and talk about random bullshit. You can't post, oh, wow, my penis is 32 fucking inches long. Sorry, it doesn't work like that. This isn't Fuck Yourself. That doesn't mean that you can't talk about other topics. For example, to create a new board, to talk about something that is, say, a sub-concept of My Little Pony or politics, I'd be more than happy to do that. Maybe an art board for long-term pony politics art projects or something like that. The sideboard, for example. The reason that Cybe has been turned back into Cybe instead of Tech is because any technology, it's just a talking discussion of technology. Cyberpunk is the concept that technology is the intersection of technology and politics. Will at one point in time technology enable the government to make us slaves forever and we'll never be able to fight back? Will we be so enhanced that our concept of morality and death will go out the fucking window? There's lots of questions about this that are very important to politics. And yes, occasionally you can stick a robotic leg on a pony. So, I hope that my insane rambling just now answered your question, because I forgot what the question was.
The next question. Do you play any games by Paradox?
Do I play any games by Paradox? I can't think of Paradox.
They make games like Hearts of Iron.
I do have Hearts of Iron. Iron. I absolutely have Hearts of Iron.
If you could...
That's actually...
Oh, go ahead.
That's it to my knowledge, but go ahead. What's the question? Oh.
If you could carpet nuke one country, which one would it be and why?
Israel. The world's Jews live there. The Holocaust never happened, but it should have. It's one of those situations where it's like they seem super nice and you wonder why anyone would be mean to them. So whenever at one point in time you realize that they're saying all these people are being mean to them, but actually none of the people who were treating them like who they say were treating them like shit were actually treating them like shit. Piece of shit. So you treat them like shit, like they deserve to be treated in the first place because they were never treated like shit, but they told everyone they were treated like shit. This is basically in the middle of this sort of mad dog thing right now where it's telling everyone in the world either you do what we say or we're going to do all sorts of dangerous and destructive shit to you, and that's just fucked up. What was the next question?
The next question is, to what degree did the Nazis employ multiculturalism in their government and or army structure? I've heard versions... various takers that Hitler employed volunteer Indian forces, that the Germans had black enlistees, that some Westerners described as having near slave status, and even Hitler employed half or quarter Jewish people.
One of the most important questions about how Hitler ran his ranks is actually related to this, and it's basically, what was more important, your allegiance to Germany or your ethnic status? And the answer is somewhere in between those two. The fact that, for example, you had a Jewish grandmother is less important than the fact that you would willingly fight and die for your country to the German people. Now, they wouldn't want you to be a breeder when they win the war and everything, and they're trying to encourage the birth rates and everything. They're not going to give you a loan so that you can have babies. But have you in their military. The people of various countries, you have to remember the Germans' reach at one point in time was all over Europe and parts of the Mediterranean. And they were encouraging people of all nations to take up arms and defend their country. So a lot of people were technically in the German army, but only in order to secure the existence of their own people. So there wasn't some black dude in Berlin going, "Now y'all hold up, I'm going to shoot some Jews," or some crazy shit like that. It was the employment of people in order to secure the existence of their own people. Italians be Italian, Africans be African, that whole thing. That's my understanding. If anybody has a greater historical grasp of that, then please post a long-winded explanation in the thread, and I will be glad to tip my hat to you. Next question.
The next question is, marijuana, degenerate or viable?
Marijuana is degenerate. But you pay for that yourself after you smoke it. If you smoke it under the age of about 25, long-term brain damage in the form of memory loss. And if you think that's wrong, it's probably because you've smoked so much weed you forgot that you are having brain damage.
Next question is, will you help make anime great again?
I mean, sure. I don't know how I could, but I shut up, Lotus.
Next one's actually a semi-real question. What branch of the military did you serve in?
U.S. Army. First to fight for the Reich and to build the nation's might, and the army goes rolling along. Proud of all we have done, fighting till the battle's won, and the army goes rolling along. God, I love that song. You have to fucking memorize that shit, that and the Soldier's Creed, a few other things. All right, I'm going to let Anon answer a question.
The next question is, what are your efforts in making MLPoll.net's focus on news and current events relevant and help in keeping the board a place for new Anons to lurk and not be bombarded by Klopp? This one I'm actually taking. I've actually reached out to a couple of Anons, and they'll be starting up a bit of a news thing that they'll be doing on our board. The name will be the ANN, the AWU News Network. They will be posting daily news, a news roundup, and all kinds of stuff. We're going to try to help push the board forward to be more, because right now we're a lot more MLP. We're going to try to center ourselves more between MLP and poll to be closer to what we were on April 1st. If that makes sense. So there are movements going on behind the scenes that we're still working on, but the main one I can discuss now with the public is the ANN. It is not part, we do not run it. We do not own it. All it is something that we were reached out to Anons to try to create to help, you know, like, hey, would you mind putting this together here to help us out? Because we want to make sure that whatever news system is ran does not have the ideologies pushed from the staff into it. We want to make sure the news is as neutral as possible. So because of that, we're not able to directly be the main news pushers. So that's why we reached out to outside individuals to do that for us. So we are working on that. Do not worry.
Um,
And that is the end of the
I can't wait until we make fucking a cracked list or something. Here's top 10 April Fool's pranks that went horribly wrong.
What is your opinion on... Oh, what are you going to say, Alice?
I was listening to you. What are you saying?
Oh, what's your opinion on World War I and the Brit starvation blockade, which killed German citizens?
That is shitty and probably was a major contributor to the rise of National Socialists.
All right, the next question. When it comes down to the future, what plans do you have to stop mob rule from turning mopol.net into another 4chan?
That's a two-pronged question, whether you meant it to be or not. God damn it, I just knocked over my game station. Hold on.
Please wait while we take a quick fuck break, apparently.
Damn old hardware. Okay, what was I doing? Now, you could mean, on the one hand, mob rule being the users, or mob rule being the staff. I suppose now's a good time as any to come with a full explanation on that. First off, I've mentioned before, I don't own the concept of an MLPOL. What this means is, when it comes to what you guys want, that's most important. And I try to make sure that that is done. By the same token... One voted to replace the replace the image board with just a giant picture of an anus. I'd probably say no, because that's just fucking ridiculous. I kind of take the position of, I mean, I hope at least I'm a benevolent dictator, that I want to listen to what everyone wants, but know when sometimes it shouldn't be done. By that same token, I have my mod team, which is an advisory board. This is the second prong. Maybe you meant the mod team being a mob rule. And the answer is the mod team has the ability to talk to me directly. And they enforce the rules I lay down. Rules that you guys lay down. So you don't want black threads, there are no black threads, that kind of shit. That if my mods say they want to change the policies, that's not actually an option they have. They don't have the ability to, say, vote on a new policy or whatever. Even if all of them say, we need this new policy, and this policy goes against everything that MLPOL stands for, I'm not going to enact that policy. I visit this website just as much as you guys do. I love the community. I love what it's become. And I love the fact that I can go through thread after thread after thread and never run out of shit to read. So the only thing I can really tell you is that in the end, it's going to be me making sure that this website stays true to the users who are MLPOL. I hope that answers your question.
The next question is, what's your opinion on the new military branch, the Space Corps?
It's pronounced core, not corpse. Corpse is something you become when somebody shoots you. But if we were to expand into space and have to take military action, a new branch of the military that would operate exclusively in space would actually be very interesting. The tactics would have to be entirely different. I don't know if most people are aware of this, but space is so unrestricted that even a small nudge in the wrong direction can send you flying very fast and cause serious injury, which is why if you ever see footage of astronauts, they're always moving really slow. It's not that they can't move quickly. It's that if they do move quickly, they'll probably end up breaking something, probably something attached to themselves. So learning military tactics in space would actually be a very interesting sort of montage. The movie, what do you call it?
name. Damn, I actually really like this movie. Something, someone's game. Ender's Game. The movie Ender's Game is actually an example of this, though they got a number of things wrong. On a book that was a hard science fiction, most everything on there was real science. So all the spacewalks, the jumping around, and the big zero-G bubble and shit, that was actually designed to be as accurate as possible. And the result was pretty interesting. So I think that would probably be something similar to it, having to learn how to move in zero G versus when you're flying in a ship, that kind of thing. Answers your question.
Next question. Have you killed another man during your years of military service? And if so, how is your overall mental situation after?
I have not killed another man in military service. That is probably one of the most common questions people in military actually get. And I know it's not meant to be, but it's actually incredibly rude. But no, I have not killed a man in military service. Or a woman or a child in military service.
Have you killed one out of service?
Jesus Christ. It depends on your definition of kill. If you mean that, did I personally plunge a knife into his chest? The answer is no. To inevitable death, yes. A few years back, I was actually homeless. This was a while after I got out of the military. There was a guy in the shelter that was incredibly torturing everybody else. He'd torment them day in and day out, and they knew they couldn't do anything because if they did, they would they'd be kicked out of the shelter. But I knew how this guy worked. He was one of those people who's like, his pride is all that matters to him. I simply watched him for a while and then did one very simple thing. I sat down in a chair. I sat down in his chair specifically, the chair he claimed as his, and he waited in front of the television to me one day, and he walks up to it that day and tells me to get out of the chair. And I told everybody else before he came in the room to just watch me and just agree with whatever I say. They had no idea what the hell I was talking about. But they hated him too. I told him I wasn't going to move. Move or I'll punch you. And I said, do it. Because most people go, oh no, because he's actually a really large guy. And he says, I'll fucking do it. You think I won't? And I stand up, I look him right in the eyes and I say, no, you won't do it. He punches me right in the chin. I'd stand up and gesture, and all the guys follow me into the office of the staff. And I tell them that this man has punched me in the face. I've got a little blood on my chin, and everybody else is going. I watched it happen. He totally hit him. It was undeserved. He was just sitting in a chair. Up, because I knew the guy, all he had to do was not be a fucking asshole. Well, they kicked him out. They kicked him out because he was assaulted. He assaulted somebody in there. A couple weeks later, this was in December. A couple weeks later, I was looking for a job. I was walking under an overpass, and I saw him. He was clearly incredibly sick, and obituary only a couple weeks after that, that somebody had actually found him, identified him, and wrote an obituary. I thought it was pretty weird, but he likely died because I got him kicked out of there because he was basically beating up on old men who were honestly trying to turn their life around. He was just some drug dealing punk.
The next question, Star Wars or Star Trek?
That's a complicated question. not a question that's a... See, if you were to ask me straight up, like, which one's better, then the answer would be the classic Star Wars, episodes 4, 5, and 6. Considering that at this point, some... three of the movies are... Well, I should say three of the episodes are shit. Three of the episodes are gold. And one of them... Somehow, it's a good narrative that is deliberately constructed to be the most inclusive bullshit imaginable. And you can tell that it's only a good narrative because they rewrote episode 4. You take that away and it's literally just the diversity fucking happy hour. Hard to say. Meanwhile, Star Trek was as diverse as it could possibly be without shoving it down your fucking throat. The guys were still guys. They still ogled women. They still made rude remarks. They still picked on one another for being from different countries and shit. I mean, for God's sake, when everybody found out that was... Because I don't know if most people watched this episode, but one of the early episodes, Sulu mentions that he knows how to mess with a sword. And everybody's like, is it a samurai sword? No, it's a fucking rapier. He's a fencer, and that's probably one of the funniest goddamn things I've ever seen in my life, a Japanese man waving around a fucking rapier. The Next Generation was really fucking good, too, so definitely Star Trek is better, but, you know, some decisions were made, and some stuff was worse than others. Honestly, if I had to pick between the two, though, like, the one that's consistently been better... Star Wars sometimes makes really shitty movies. I mean, have you ever seen The Great Ewok Adventure or the Star Wars Christmas Special? Tough to watch these movies. Sorry, I'm a nerd. Anders Breivik is a hero. Next question.
What is your opinion on Anders Breivik?
I already said that. Anders Breivik is a hero. Next question.
All right. Ethnic home for every race? Does that include Jews? Just asking for a friend.
Every race deserves the ability to have their own ethnic home. I want to point out that I'm kidding about the Anders Breivik being a hero thing. I mean, obviously, I agree with his ideology that people are invading by the millions, but going out and brutally murdering dozens of kids does not make you a fucking hero. Anyway. To be able to call a place home. The fact that you are a human being means that you should be able to point at a place and say, that is my home. The JQ, Jewish people call a home, is that there are very few places in the world completely unoccupied. This is important. There are only about 15 million Jewish people on Earth. They could buy out... And trust me, they have the money to do this. A lot of land in a specific region if they wanted to. And even they could find a really lush, fertile state somewhere in the middle of the U.S. and just call it the Jewish land. They could call it New Israel. Call it any number of fucking things. Because people in the United States are less attached to their land than the people... in Palestine. And at this point, nobody in Israel is saying, look, we'll give you $1 billion, just fuck off. Just bombing them. If you're a Jewish person who feels like you deserve your own homeland, then I absolutely support that. But I do not support making it on the skulls of other people.
So, do you support the Palestinians over the Israelites? If so, why?
No. For any one group over another group. Part of the problem with the whole JQ is
Jewish people moved to Palestine right after World War II in the millions. Palestinians out. The people who did this were basically invaders. All dicks. But decades later, the majority of the people in Israel, some million people, if I remember correctly, they were raised there. That's their home as much as the Palestinians' home. So it's a complicated question without a specifically... And the only real problem I have with it is that those people are such fucking assholes because they want to have their goddamn cake and eat it too. They want to tell everyone else that you have to let everyone into your country. But if you walk down the street and you're not Jewish, they'll surround you like fucking gangsters or some shit and talk about your fucking street, but they'll say it in their weird little Jewish language.
The next question is, would you be able to rank the Abrahamic faiths from best to worst, my dude?
Faiths is kind of like asking me to tell you which shit I enjoyed the most. I was raised Pentecostal Christian, and all I can really tell you about it is there are so many contradictory goddamn things in the Bible. There's so much evidence about how it was written over centuries and whatnot that believing that it is the one true word of God is tantamount to believing that that the president doesn't watch, you know, fucking 5 hours of Fox News every goddamn night. That being said, though, faith is one of the few things in this world that can make you feel like it's worth the life you have is worth living. And in especially tough times, in a heartless world, it is the heart you might need. So I don't want to detract from someone else's faith by saying one faith is above another one. Having said that, Islamic religion is a well-crafted faith by a single man that has no contradiction whatsoever, because it specifically outlines that if there is a contradiction, the later verse abnegates the early verse. That is, the later verses were all fucked. So it basically makes it to where I can't fucking trust you if you're Islamic, but only because you're confessing that you belong to a faith that says you should kill people who don't believe, and I don't believe, and I don't want to die. As for old Jewish faith, I mean, there's actually not a whole lot of shit in the Jewish faith. Most people aren't aware of this, but and the Torah are pretty basic books. The vast majority of it is literally just, this is how you live your life, and here's a whole bunch of cows. So, again, ranking them is kind of impossible. Hope that answers your question.
The next question is, do you support Pinochet?
You know what? I just had a fucking brain fart.
Pinochet is a helicopter ride guy.
Yeah, I know who he is. I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about my keyboard. Never mind. Yes, I do. But I feel like countries frequently require a benevolent dictator. Benevolent being used loosely here. Somebody who can basically walk in and say, look, now we're going to do it like this. And he created a much better system of government where there was once shit. He had a much higher, this is important, he had a higher approval rating than the duly elected man that he overthrew. It again, like most things, it's complicated, but it's not so complicated that I couldn't tell you that. Yeah, I like the guy. Like, couldn't stay in office forever.
Do you know Dr. Jordan Peterson?
Dr. Jordan Peterson? Like, personally?
No, I think he's more of asking who this individual is, if you know who they are.
Oh, sounds familiar. Is it that college professor who totally hates, like, feminism and shit?
His main area of study is psychology of religious and ideological beliefs, and the assessment and the improvement of personality and performance. He authored Maps of Meaning, the Architecture of Belief in 1999.
Hold on, let me. Yeah, no, that's who I was thinking of. His background is less important to me than his, because basically he said that there's a bill which basically prohibits any form of discrimination under the Canadian Rights Act for gender identity or expression, and he gave a 3-part video lecture series about it. So I know who he is. I just am terrible with fucking names, like names. I like the guy, actually. I watched the full fucking lecture. I'm just really fucking bad with names.
The next question is, if you could make Moon Man real, would you? And why?
That's complicated, I suppose. I mean, on the one hand, I really fucking like those songs. Again, I'm not a huge supporter of going around brutally fucking murdering people, even if they are, quote, people. Or people, echo, echo, echo. I don't know, honestly. I couldn't tell you. I mean, like, again, conflicting for me. Like, would I make him real? Sorry, I can't offer a satisfactory answer for that one.
We have enough time for one more question.
I mean, we have enough time for as many questions as you like.
Okay.
I don't have anything to do tonight.
All right, sweet.
I want to keep asking questions.
What is your favorite alcohol?
I've only been drunk a handful of times in my entire life. But a good dry Pinot Noir.
Do you know what is perception management?
Do I know what is perception management? I do not. Hold on, let me Google that. Perception management. Selective information, indicators, foreign audiences to influence emotions, motives, and objective reasoning, as well as intelligent systems and leaders at all levels to influence official estimates, ultimately resulting in reform behaviors and official acts favorably Virginia Tech did various ways. So basically, directed at other groups. I'm familiar with the concept. Didn't know it had a name. Huh. Next question.
What's the most degenerate libtard thing you've been cursed to see in real life?
My fiance. Aged up until about 2 weeks ago. Living. And the thing is, my fiance was not a she, it was a they. Continuously demanded I call our board hair short and proper pronouns and all that other kind of crazy shit, and I went along with it because I guess I felt like I deserved that shit. And I was intent on red-pilling them, and I was actually giving them pretty good what for. At one point, they were actually admitting, okay, yeah, I'm female body, and I need certain female products like multivitamins and shit have to be designated for female because otherwise I'm going to fucking die horribly. And I was like, well, thank God, that's one more step. But just take my word for this, guys. Never rescue anyone, okay? Not, I mean, if someone needs help, help them. But don't say to yourself, if I rescue this girl, then they will love me forever. Because when I met this person, they were in a relationship with a black woman. And this was back when I had those weird communist leanings and shit. And over the years, we grew closer and then started dating and then got engaged and moved in together and shit. And before I knew it, they were on the phone every day with a black woman. Another left me for a fucking black woman. I should have seen that shit coming. That I'm the abusive one because, and I'm not kidding about this, after 7 years of being engaged, I was unemployed for a month while I was looking for a better job. I was taking advantage of them because I didn't have any income at the time. That was worth destroying the entire time we'd been together, that for 4 weeks I was unemployed. Not unemployed and doing nothing, unemployed and looking for a job every day, getting callbacks and going through interviews. But apparently that was enough to throw away everything, go to someone else and say that I was an abusive asshole. So just trust me on this. Never accept communist bullshit from anyone. No one is worth it because it will fuck with your psyche.
The next question, if you could wish for an Ariane picture, how would it look like?
It'd have slightly darker fucking lines because I can't see shit when I look at my computer screen. Ariane's always got the real pale fucking outlines and all I can see is two eyes staring at me from a white field. And as cute as that is, I can't... Green is... like, I guess the gamma's wrong or something, but I can't fucking fix it. So I can't actually see Ariane's face. Up and giving you a little pouty look. Sorry?
Do we have any more questions from the audience?
Yeah, give me questions, bitches.
See, you can hear the pop. Atlas is getting drunk right now. He's ready to spill all the beans.
Joking. Nah, man. Just had a little swing from a bottle of Moscato. Fucking hate sweet one. It's so disgusting. What's that? Okay. Well, I figure I should tell you a couple things since nobody asked about it. Like, kind of encouraging, actually, because it means you guys aren't paranoid.
We have one. Why are you cool?
cool.
Probably because I was fucking bred on these websites and became this, and it just sort of fits. I'm not drunk, Lotus. Go fuck yourself. Now, what was I saying?
Oh, you're asking why are you cool? Well, you were answering that. Next question. Is there a difference between alternative media and alternative media?
Well, yeah, actually. I mean, that's really strange phrasing, but you mean, say there's Fox News, and then there's maybe news organizations that operate entirely online? Some kind of weird mix between news and comedy, like, say, Dargon of Kakkad, or what is that guy called? Louder with Crowder. Those would be alternative media, and then alternative would be an alternative to the alternative, which would be, is clearly just a bunch of people who are fighting to break into the mainstream. They want to be the mainstream, and the fact of the matter is that we accept that they're throwing themselves, prostrating themselves at the feet of people who will never fucking accept them. An alternative to that would be probably something like along the lines of like a Twitter account that just fucking to and post a fact and everybody learned facts from that or some crazy shit. I don't know. Maybe it would be something like YouTube or whatever, or not YouTube, but like a YouTube channel that, think of it like this. Instead of there being an official organization, it's literally just this guy's from Cuba and posts his life in Cuba every day, so you know what life in Cuba is like. No, it's not an official organization. Yeah. I would like to point out, after numerous t-shirt sales and donations, we have reached $300 on the website's PayPal. I'd like to thank everyone who donated, especially one guy, he knows who he is, for giving as much as they did, because you've really put the website on the map. And once we secure a permanent location, we are going to dump every cent into paying for as much web hosting service as we can. So, go team or whatever. Also, if anybody's having trouble receiving their shirts, please post about it in the thread and I will tell the appropriate people. Next question.
This next one is a very important one. What is your position on John Elway, patron saint of footballs, who has held all of his footballs and distributed them onto the unwashed masses? How do you plan to help spread his message? Football.
Okay. I guess maybe not everyone is fully aware of this. The John Elway football postings, I realized quite quickly that if this guy was not basically brought on board, then the entire website would suffer as a result, simply because there is something so precious about it. So I created a new role in staff, ship poster general. Elway is our ship poster general. His job is to basically create propaganda for the website. The well-crafted football distributor in chief is the one who makes sure that whenever somebody looks at ML Poll, they see a particular thing. Whenever there's a raid, you better believe he's in on it. Simply because football. Next question.
Is the server still in Cucknadia?
The server is still in Faggotland, because We're having trouble securing a server that is super duper cool about everything always. We have, however, found one candidate, and we are transferring everything. That's done. We'll announce a time for there to be a server outage. We'll update the server, and once the DNS has propagated, everyone will be able to post on there just fine. We'll make sure it's somewhere, sometime when there's not a whole lot of posters, probably like 4 a.m. or something. We're studying statistics on that, and once we know exactly when the best time to do it is, we'll switch over. Location we're looking at is so dedicated to free speech, so as long as we're not just like, you know, child porn or we're going to blow up the White House kind of bullshit, then they're fine with that. And those are things that aren't allowed on MLPoll.net anyway, so who gives a shit?
The next question is, do you have suggestions on what actions MLPoll could take to increase traffic or where to fish for new users at?
Not, unfortunately. Something I worry about sometimes is you guys think I'm actually not that smart. Aside from the raids, whenever you guys like banned by accident or some people got unbanned or a number of other things, he accidentally fucking something up. There's a reason I delegate basically all of the tasks to somebody else, because I'm not actually that smart and up on my own tends to fuck things up, including coming up with plans to increase traffic. So I delegate that. One of the people I actually delegate that to, his name is Kerning. He runs the one NTR board. Pretty knowledgeable about old school old school internet thing, majiggies. I don't know how to fucking say that. So he'd probably be best directing a question at him if he'd want to jump into the channel right now and, you know, talk about his ideas. I'd love to hear it. I said talk, faggot.
Is he in here?
Sucking dick for money.
I am not.
That's the way you can get people up.
I immediately regret that. Other suggestions?
Was there any questions that were asked or something?
Yeah. The traffic for the server.
Was there any questions? All right. Well, I guess for starters, I mean, so far it's just been a lot of lurking in the different Discord communities and other board communities, because so far right now everybody is pretty much on Discord status as far as, well, Chan's in general. Let me mute this real quick. I can hear myself talking. I sound retarded.
Now you know what we have to deal with.
I know it. That's what I'm here for. There's like two or three servers that have pretty good communities that would do tremendous for MLPoll. And actually, I had a discussion with them concerning MLPoll. And actually, surprisingly, from the people I was talking to, it was very positive. You know, a lot of them actually unironically liked MLPoll, and they had no idea that MLPoll was still a thing. I invited maybe one person so far from that server into the Discords and actually showed them the board. But I'm hoping that I can start integrating more of them. They're I guess the best way I could call it to kind of keep them discreet, like without any too much information. But they're like an APOL server. It's like MLPoll, except with weebs. Yeah, and before all the fucking horse fuckers screech. But I want to do what I can, hopefully, to basically integrate myself a little bit more into that server, get to know everybody, see what they're about. Because I originally met them on a B server. So, I mean, hopefully in time we can, you know, get more people and start integrating them into ML Ball. The thing is, how can I put it? Well, shit. I gotta stop hearing my own fucking voice. It's throwing me out.
Yeah, that's why I closed the rabbit earlier. It was very distracting.
Yeah, it was. It is. I guess to put things into perspective, really it's just a time process. You know, and I mean, that's something that everybody can do. Everybody can sit there, get in touch with other communities. CAM communities are always, you know, best. People that understand image boards. Because, you know, you want to keep the same cycle of, you know, content. And, you know, respected content. I mean, it's always about respecting the house at the end of the day. But I guess closing what I'm saying is, I mean, shit, anybody could do what the hell they can. I mean, sucking dick for money.
Sucking dick for money. I gotcha. Okay.
To build off of what Kerning said, at the end of the day, Atlas just owns the board. It's up to us to fill it and make this better for everyone. The more time and effort we put in to spread the word of ML Poll and to bring people here, the better our board will become. The best way to put it is all of us should try to do something to help it out. But the next question is, what is your opinion on the fact that the British government is letting a baby die even though the parents have enough money to bring the child to the U.S. and treat them with an experimental treatment?
I'm sorry, what?
There's a child who was born with a mental issue, not a mental, an illness. They're 10 months old and they'll be connected to a machine for the rest of their lives unless they receive a treatment in the States. The British government is letting said that the child will be disconnected off of life support.
Well, for one thing, that's a dead giveaway of how fucking state-run healthcare operates. That shouldn't be a government option at all. Government shouldn't have any fucking say in that shit. If they think that they could restore that child to at least passable health by going to the United States, any self-respecting would do it. Again, the whole issue with a nanny state is that violence, like, actually has a lot to what I was saying earlier. I, as basically the governing body of MLPoll.net, know that I am not competent enough to tell you guys how to live your lives. Delegate as much as possible, even to the point that the people in the board have to handle their own moderation and whatnot to a certain extent. You know, somebody comes on the board and they don't understand the culture, they need to be called a faggot until they understand. Same thing with this bullshit. The British government should have absolutely no say in whether or not that child lives or dies. It's not for them to make that choice. And that's because Britain is so thoroughly cucked right now that they can't even have children without getting that shit signed to triplicate. It's a bad thing, Gur. Next question.
How close does ML Poll think it is from correct intelligence?
What?
I don't know what that means either.
Correct intelligence? Where the hell did you hear this?
It's a user in the chat. Template, would you mind giving a bit more information on what you're asking?
The home button, rabbit. That load up. Need to drink water.
The digger you deep. Thank you, Kerning.
Militant?
I'm sorry, that's just, it just reminded me of that thread. It's an A thread.
Do you mean like what's the error rate and the shit that's posted on the site? How often is it bullshit?
Yeah, I guess he's asking how real is our news and how much of it is fake news.
If I were to say how often is stuff real or fake on the website, see, if you're including stuff that's been deleted, we've probably got maybe a 30% error rate for of the stories that have been posted that have been deleted, and especially by my incredibly efficient mod team, because holy shit, sometimes I don't even have a chance to look at it, are so fucking fake bullshit, because they're literally just people trying to, you know, pull fucking website. Maybe 5% stays on the website. So 95% of the stuff you read on the website is more or less reliable, where another 5%, not so much. Part of the thing is I do adhere to the original poll ideology that everything you claim has to be backed up with facts. So back check every single thread. I'd probably drive myself fucking insane. That's probably about as close as I can give you to a, if that is even what you actually asked before, hither, whether to camera, microphone license.
I think it's more like, it's more up to the users in general to call bullshit and to, you know, basically dig in and be like, all right, well, this is where you're wrong. And then pretty much, you know, cut thread.
Yeah. That's very true, Kerning. That's aside from trying to get rid of actual spam threads, the majority of the information on the website you have to sift through yourself.
I mean, that's what the InfoWar is about.
Do we have any other questions?
Yeah, more questions, faggots. Ask me something.
Is the truther community deluded?
Is the truther community diluted? You mean 9/11? Is that what the truther community is? I'd never bother to look up fucking code names for shit. Not diluted. There's actually a good amount of information that makes the whole thing not make much sense, though.
the leaps they take can make the make them seem even more crazy, which makes me just think that a lot of them are controlled opposition. But if you want like a scaled down analogy of what 9/11 was, think of it like this. The World Trade Center had more than a dozen beams in the center backbone that held the building up. This was supposed to withstand anything. And the beams themselves were designed to hold the weight of the building, even if everything else around it collapsed. This was during the 9/11 investigations, but later on, when the documents were actually released to the public, was revealed to be true that they had this incredibly sturdy centerpiece that held the building up. Then there's the fact that the outside of the building was also covered in gigantic fucking steel beams, which was that iconic on the outside of the fucking building. Airbag, there are a lot of, say, buckles on their on the runway and falls forward while it's moving. The plane is scrap. Like, as soon as it hits, there's no repairing it. It's destroyed. Which is why if you go to a place, the we'll call it an airline graveyard, they just have fucking airplanes just strewn about. They can't fucking fly anymore. They might look okay, but there's structural damage inside, and the fact that they're fucking aluminum makes them impossible to fly again. Now I want you to explain to me how you can chuck a tin can at steel bars on a... You've seen them. You look at the window on a fucking lever or something. They got those steel bars that are like a half inch apart or some shit, and they're crisscrossing and everything. Now I want you to take a Coke can and chuck it at those steel bars as hard as you can. You just keep chucking it. Throw them over and over again. Use a fucking cannon and tell me what's going to break first. The steel bars or the aluminum can, because trust me, those bars are gonna be fine. That can will turn to shredding. Although those have been flying, it was honestly a lot, nearly as much damage as it did. It doesn't make any sense. And until we build a whole new building and throw a new airplane into it, we're not gonna get appropriate answers. Then there's the fact that large amounts of the documentation have actually been sealed because it may or may not indicate that Saudi Arabia was in on the whole fucking thing. And due to treaties that we have with them, thanks Nixon, any information that would make is basically classified.
The next question. What annoys you the most about MLPOL and its community? / users.
What annoys me about MLPOL?
Yep.
Nothing. I love you guys.
Oh, we love you too.
That's gay.
Hey, no homo.
Your mom's a homo.
Oops. Look at Kerning. He's been trying to suck your dick for money since you met him.
Oh, please, dude. He totally laid into me the other fucking day. Like, oh, I said, guys have anything to complain about the website? And Kearney's like, you know what? I do. Someone, not going to name any names, is an asshole, okay? And this guy who's an asshole, and I'm not going to name any names, Atlas, he's totally a dick because he does this stuff that's totally dickish, okay? Now, whoever this asshole is, Atlas, he needs to stop being such an asshole, all right? All right. Not going to say no names, but it's Atlas.
Hot.
Hi, Kerning.
Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question. Why is your mom so fat?
She isn't.
I'm talking to you, faggot.
Oh.
Any more questions? Someone ask me a question. Important question.
When will Kerning watch Stuff with me?
Stuff is a shitty Kerning. Anime.
Of an anime?
Any other questions? Ronald Japanese Reagan, yes or no?
Product.
What is your opinion on Ronald Reagan?
Ronald Reagan, and I mean, he wasn't a bad president, but he was.
What president do you feel was the biggest tool for the Jews, where pretty much their entire existence was just to follow what the Jews told them?
Obama.
Oh, shit. Oh, way to ask the question, man. Way to ask the real fucking question. All right, I'm about to lay a big fucking red pill on you guys. It's probably going to make you shit yourself, all right? That you have had in your entire lives is because of one man. Because of the efforts that he put forth to advance the Jewish agenda. And those people aren't even fucking aware of it, because all they know him about is one incident that happened near the end of his term that cost him his presidency. You know, they remember him for doing stuff. I remember him for doing stuff, but they never talk about it. It never comes up because the scandal at the end of his term. I'm talking about Richard Goddamn Nixon. Goddamn Nixon, and that's his proper name, say the whole thing. Came in after, not immediately after because line of succession, blah, 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 but came in after JFK. JFK was the last man with the balls to stand up and say, no, hold the fuck up, okay? It's bullshit that these bankers are trying to run everything and we're not going to stand for it. And basically tried to tell the American people that there's a plot to enslave everyone's mind. JFK basically was going to expose them, and he is the only person who has died of the Secret Service. The only president who died while under protection of the Secret Service. All the other presidents who were assassinated without protection. You can hear JFK was assassinated and watch the Secret Service walk away from him, jump off his car, evacuate the whole fucking area right before he's shot, as if they knew what was going to happen. Some of them look confused, so I don't doubt that not all of them were in on it. Murdered because he was going to expose them. The next president immediately began enacting everything about him. First, Vietnam was a very costly war. The result was to go through economic hardships for a few years. Of course, Americans, we don't like things comfortable. So instead of putting up with a few years of economic hardships while we paid for the war that we probably should have never been involved in, he pulled us out of the war, immediately took the American dollar off the gold standard. This meant that the money that we had spent would no longer be the deciding factor on the value of our dollar. It wouldn't be weighed against gold versus how much we spent. It's a big complicated bullshit thing. But the fact that we owed money for this would no longer be as relevant as how much people wanted our currency in the first place. He then had to create a demand. There's two ways to create a demand that he went for. First thing that he did, one thing he did was he went to the OPEC, most notably Saudi Arabia, and he basically made the deal. You buy oil, you sell oil exclusively on the dollar, and we'll buy oil exclusively from you and secure your oil rights worldwide so that nobody who works outside of OPEC can ever fuck with you again.
Then he flew to China, and he basically started the talks that led to the trade deals that have bankrupted the United States. Because, and this is important on both sides, if OPEC trading on the dollar, that means that every country on earth has to have American dollars in order to buy oil. That means they have to buy American dollars. That increases their value by increasing their demand for those that money. China, because China buys products from the United States, it has to buy them in dollars. But more importantly, in order to keep that money flow going in one direction, they have to make sure that the value of the dollar is high, while the value of the Chinese. In order to do this, they purchase ridiculous amounts of currency, billions of dollars every single year from the United States, because the value increases. All right. Nixon was not only the person who enslaved us to the oil wars and sold our trade, sold all our jobs to fucking China, officially inflate the United States currency. He's also the man who damn, I forgot. List here somewhere where to put it. Richard Nixon created the environmental issue with the relations that have been actually fucking up our economy while doing nothing for the environment for decades. That was him. Richard Nixon created the what do you call it? Now, this might not seem like a bad thing, but you have to understand the war on drugs in a specific way. It isn't trying to eliminate drugs. The best way to do that would be to treat drugs, have a health problem, and to take people who sell drugs and put them behind bars. So you buy drugs, the cops stop you, ask you where you got it from. You point it out, they put you in the hospital, you get better, you go on with your life. Instead, you have weed, you're going to jail. There's no... Instead of trying to shut down these communities by admitting that most of those drugs come from places like Mexico, they decide to just sort of continuously harass one another. A huge thing Nixon did, and one of the results of the war on drugs was actually the introduction of crack cocaine into the United States. It's a long, complicated history. It involves proxy wars and shit that happened in South America, but it was all a result of the war on drugs. About the only thing he did right was the fact that he didn't trust the Jews. But you have to remember that he did trust one Jew, and one Jew is all it takes. One of his was a Jewish man by the name of Henry Kissinger. He did bomb the shit out of some Asian countries, Laos, Vietnam, Cambodia. But you can't name a party these days a problem these days that is not directly back to him. Because the things he did had such an enormous impact how the country was run as a
a whole that the issues are a result of his policies and have forgotten that they're the result of one president, not something that the United
States. We need to kill those damn hippies and their long hairs. I'm
let's see. It's bullshit. Nixon, definitely Nixon. There's something else about him that I can't remember off the top of my head that really fucked up the country too, but I mean, those are some of the biggest talking points, how he manipulated the currency, how he is responsible for the oil wars, how he created the war on drugs that has made the drug problem worse, and the military-industrial complex. Next question.
Opinion on Celtic people.
Yes. Next question.
Somebody die.
That, not to my knowledge.
Can you hear me now?
Hi. I think Anon died. Rip.
No, I'm here. I'm here.
My baby takes the morning train. She works from 9 to 5, and then she takes another home again. And I assumed her gender, which makes me a bad husband.
Wait, what? What question? What question, faggot? A squid. What question? Why is Anemic so good at dancing? They're asking what your opinion is on the Celts.
Oh, I am just a simple potato farmer.
This question, if you'd like, I can answer for you, Atlas. It's, have you or the team considered making regular podcasts like this?
Yes, this is a weekly...
Yeah, this is a weekly thing that we'll be running. So this is the first of many weekly podcasts.
There we go. Okay. Yes, this is weekly. Every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm going to be coming on here talking about Jews or, you know, any number of other things. And I'm going to make sure that this is a permanent thing, not only to
you know, talk about Jews or whatever, but also so you guys can ask me any questions you have about the website, transparency, whatever you want, because, you know, I know sometimes you guys are worried about what's going on.
Atlas, if you could visit to Equestria but never go back to Earth, would you, and why?
Only if I could be with Rainbow Dash.
But Krusty Cornflakes. Lotus.
There's about to be a waifu war going on here.
All right, there you go. I've kicked Kerning.
No. Actually, I can reactivate the music. Atlas, you just have to adjust how loud the music is.
How do I adjust how loud the music is? I don't know how to do that.
All right. You just right-click on Fredboat and adjust its volume. And then it just has the smooth jazz in the background.
Quite comfy.
Yeah, this was the music that I was supposed to play, but yeah. It'll be this is what we'll probably be using for now on, is just nice, relaxing jazz music in the background.
Come into a theater near you, the Bog Pill.
Yeah, bog. Next session will be all about the Bog de Goffs.
No, it won't. Shut up.
I'm joking. But, no, we'll try to tell you guys what the sessions are when we start, or beforehand.
Yeah, I figured that out. Thanks, Pepper Wolf.
Will this ever end? I don't know. If Atlas wants to... When Atlas says to finish the stream, I cut the stream. Until then, you get to listen to the smooth jazz, my voice, and Atlas.
I mean, ooh. If nobody has any more questions.
Actually, there's a good one here. Will you ever bring on guests from the community to speak?
Yes, I absolutely will. I would... I would absolutely love to have guests from the community, especially the guy with the beard who just took a drag off his vape. what that fucker has to say about anything at all.
He's one of our Aussies.
Done wrestling a kangaroo. I figured out how to mute rabbits, so I'm in the rabbit chat now. What do I think about name fags? Name fagging?
Fucking stop it. Don't do it.
Shut up. There's a reason for there being a name field on the website at all. If you create a thread and you're the OP and everybody knows you're the OP so that you can talk about your thing and everyone, if it's relevant that you're the OP, who you are. If you want people to assign an identity to you because you don't fucking kill yourself.
I use trip codes because MLPO.net cares who I am.
So, like, you guys see me use my cap code sometimes because I like, you know, shitposting. I feel like it adds kind of a comedic punch when the admin does something stupid with the users, but 90% of my posts don't actually have any kind of trip code, cap code, whatever. I actually use a VPN when I post as anyone but Titan. But take John Elway on ML Poll. or when he creates his little, you know, copy pastas that he spams somewhere else or whatever. That's funny shit, and he deserves to have a name. But the name is with the funny shit. It's not his. It's not everything that John Elway is as a person, and it's also not an identity to make him important. So if you're thinking to yourself, hey, I want to create an identity and do something on emmapole.net, don't. The whole point of websites like your ideas are important. Your identity is not. If your identity is required for you to make an argument, there's something fucked up about your argument. In fact, just kill yourself. That being said, I did tell my moderators that they can post with their name and the cap code whenever they want, but that I will not defend them when the users start calling them total fucking faggots. I feel like you guys should know who your moderators are to a degree. You guys should know, like, if Anonymous Mod is the only one posting, like, sometimes Anonymous Mod's a total dick and sometimes he seems not to know anything about anything, then that'd be probably more confusing for you versus if you know, Mod is actually completely unknowledgeable, so we'll let him slide as long as he's not going around deleting threads based on his or whatever. By the same token, if there is a mod who's name fagging just so that he can name fag, and he's a faggot and he should fucking kill himself. Flags? You mean people who like, oh, I want to have a certain flags because I think it's funny or whatever? The time we do that just to fuck with you guys. Like, if I post something gay, so we'll give you a fucking little rainbow flag because we think it's fucking funny. Complicated?
Are you guys able to hear the jazz in the background at all?
Ideology flags? Meh? Wait, is there an ideology flag thing on the website now? Oh, well, that was confusing as hell.
Good, just want to make sure you guys can hear the music.
I'd probably, if there was a way for everyone to be able to toggle some kind of identity flag, if for no other reason than just so everybody who doesn't want anything to do with identity flags can stay the fuck away from them. Personally, I think I'd like it to have a little Nazi flag next to my name so that people can stop fucking asking me if I'm a National Socialist already. I had a little Moscato earlier, but honestly, it's just too goddamn sweet for me. It's disgusting.
Can my ideology flag be a smug anime girl?
No.
I swear, I think I'm the only one in here not drinking.
Drinking? Ooh. Waifuism is an ideology. The ideology that 2D is superior to 3D.
And that everybody else's waifu but mine is a shit.
Exactly. Lotus, did you change my goddamn flag?
You should have made an Indian one.
You make me an Indian one, I'll fucking ban you, motherfucker. Well, I mean,
this. Because if I had done that, I probably would have dropped all the tables on the website or fucking accidentally sold it to shit like that. Every time I don't know if I've mentioned this already because my brain fucking sucks, but every time I touch the goddamn website's configuration or whatever, I accidentally delete something and it fucks everything up.
Yeah, they changed your flag. You got a Nazi flag now.
I got a Nazi flag. Well, I'm actually going to go to sleep because it's vacation and tomorrow I'm getting up early and I'm going to go to the memorials in D.C. and quite lovely when there's no one here because for whatever reason people just fucking vacate on the 4th of July. Later, and I will talk to you all next week.
This has been.
I hope you enjoyed this. Go ahead, you can say your thing now, dude.
Sorry. This has been Tea Time with Atlas. Thank you for joining us, and join us again next Sunday. Also, do not forget, this Tuesday is the 4th of July. We will be hosting the official MLPult.net Patriotic America movie stream. The thread can be found on mlpoll.net. Go check it out and be ready. The stream starts July 4th at noon Pacific Standard Time. Thank you, everyone.
Suck dick for money.